Everybody, welcome to the Jamie Dawn Show. I am your hostess with the mostest, Jamie Dawn, and this is a pre-recorded show today for Monday, March 11th of 2024. And I just want to give you, this is a little bit of a different setup. So I am going to offer you some insights astrologically and how it means for us energetically and in relationships. And then that's the first half. And then the second half of the show is a pre-recorded show that I did with my daughter Tatiana last week, and we talked about respect or disrespect in relationships. And it's very enlightening, and it was something that was near and dear to her heart. And if you are not familiar with my daughter Tatiana, she is a resident therapist. She's working on her licensure, and it's just fun to get her insights, especially at a 30, from a 30-year-old, you know, and she's been going through her own things. And so anyway, it's just a very enlightening conversation. Hopefully you guys get some nuggets that you can glean from it. And the big announcement, of course, is that tomorrow, March 12th, is 1-2 day at 1-2 Listen. So there'll be reduced prices. There'll be specials going on. I will be there. Most of the day, there's a few scheduled appointment calls that I have already on the book. So if you don't see me online, then feel free to schedule an appointment or request a call or a chat back. And I'm happy to jump on with you as soon as I can. And let's jump into what is happening. I mean, the big talk of the town, if you've looked at Mark's Power Peak, C.A. Brooks, our wonderful resident astrologer, wrote about the Venus moving into Pisces. That's the big movement this week. And I'll talk a little bit more about that from my perspective as an astrologer and intuitive. And because Venus is all about relationship and how we give and receive love. As I mentioned in my show last week, you know, I talked about Mars being the cosmic and Venus being the cosmic lover, Mars being the masculine, sexuality, motivation, action, how we get things done. Venus is that feminine, softer quality, open to receive, one that, you know, when we think of the feminine, we think of the fluidity. And Venus is exalted in the sign of Pisces, meaning she loves being in love, and Pisces loves the romance, and there's a lot of creativity and imagination that goes on. And so over the next couple of weeks, as Venus is moving through the sign of Pisces, also, I want to point out Saturn being in Pisces, and I'm putting that pin on the map because it's leading us into 2 weeks from today, we have our first eclipse of the year in Aries, and it is an Aries with a Libra emphasis too because of the axis that the eclipse is going to be on. But we have a new moon in Aries, and that is going to offer us some interesting energy, and we're already feeling it, because the thing about eclipses is that we're going to feel them, usually an intensity of them, a month before and even a month after. And the themes that show up could show up within the next 6 months of an eclipse. So remember, it's like a newer full moon on steroids. So we have a lot of energy building up. And I mentioned Saturn being in Pisces. Venus is going to make a conjunction, or as I like to say, canoodling with Saturn just before this eclipse happens. And so we're going to have all this Piscean energy. We're going to have, you know, Venus, who, like I say, loves romance. She loves being in Pisces. In fact, they get along so well together that this is like the best expression of Venus. And we'll feel like we're in a bit of a love spell, if you will, when Venus is in Pisces, where we love being in love. We're going to focus, even if we're already in a relationship, we may find new ways to rekindle that romance. There could be a lot of fantasy, role-playing, ideas of how we want to, you know, dream together and get out of the humdrum routines, you know. Venus in Aquarius had us more objective. It has us a little bit more aloof, if you will, in the relationships, a little less emotionally attached. And now we're going to start getting more into how do we kind of dream up a little more romantic vibe. And there's just something that is precious about Venus in Pisces. But What we have to be careful of when Venus is in Pisces, because there's always a light and shadow to it, but we have to be careful of the rose-colored glasses or painting things, painting a picture that isn't really true. And then when Venus moves into Aries next, we wake up and we go, wait a minute, that's not at all what I thought it was. Oh my God, now what? Right? So we, while seeing others in an idealistic light isn't necessarily a bad thing, we just have to be careful that we don't overcommit to something before we have all the facts, right? And this is a great time to just enjoy the moment, enjoy the in-between space. Have you ever been, if you know what I mean by the in-between space, anytime you have relationship, especially, the stages of it, right? You start out with this, ooh, there's chemistry, we like each other. You start to get to know each other, you fall in love, you start dreaming and talking about the future, but the future hasn't taken shape yet. Let's just say you've been together for a little while and you start talking about merging your lives and what that looks like. Does it mean engagement? Does it mean moving in together? That sort of thing, but you haven't actually moved in yet. Or we'll take it back even more in the in-between of, okay, we've been dating for a little while, but neither one of us has said, I love you yet, So you're caught in that in-between of unknown. That's really what the in-between space is. It's like, where is this going? Or, do we have traction? Does this have staying power? Right? All those questions start to come up. And it's in that questioning space that we often lose our footing. Or we start to worry. And that's the reason I bring that up is that that's the difficulty with Venus and Pisces is that we go into this dreamy state and we're just like, oh, it's all wonderful. And here we are dreaming our future together and all of that. And then when Venus leaves Pisces, we start to go, wait a minute. Okay, we've talked about all this. Now I want action. Venus, and I'll talk about it another time in more depth, but Venus and Aries wants action. It needs that kind of drive and push to start getting things done. Stop talking, start doing kind of thing. But right now with Venus and Pisces, we don't mind all the talk. We don't mind painting the pretty picture and really tapping into our creativity. Now this goes way beyond just romance, of course, with Venus and Pisces, because Venus also rules our values, and that includes our finances. It includes our friendships, that any type of relationship. And so this is a great time to maybe cultivate an imaginative or spiritual pursuit and think about how to monetize it. So that's how Venus and Pisces could help, because Pisces loves spirituality. It likes to be in the all that is, the wonderful imaginal realm. And I mentioned that Saturn's in Pisces and that Venus is going to be canoodling or conjunct Saturn just before the eclipse that's taking place on the 25th. And that's a wonderful opportunity with Saturn because Saturn wants to basically be have concrete stuff. Saturn's our heavy planet, right? It says, okay, here's how we consolidate all the dreams and hopes and wishes that you've been talking about and putting them into some form of reality. So it's a great time right now to start imagining what it is that you would want to do that would energize you. And maybe there's a charity or a cause out there. It doesn't have to necessarily be a spiritual pursuit. It could be just a creative pursuit. Maybe there's a lot of creatives out there that are saying, I have a playwright, I want to write and put it into a movie or a book, or there's a course I want to put together that's really going to help people understand self-care, self-love, things like that. And so I'm going to put that together and advertise it and hopefully people will sign up, right? So it's a great time for that to happen. And having the energy of the eclipse coming is a wonderful, call it injection or amplification. If you're picking times, if you're looking at a calendar or astrological elections, things like that, it's a great time to launch things. Because one other pin on the map is Mercury is now in the sign of Aries, where it will stay until about the end of April, because it's going to retrograde in the month of April. And so we're going to be revisiting some of these ideas and some of the things that we're how we're manifesting it. So if you're launching something in the next 2 weeks or so, this is a great time to do beta tests, a great time to soft open, that sort of thing, so that while Mercury is retrograding in April, you get to revisit it, kind of redo some things that you've learned from the soft launch, I think also something else we're looking at in the next couple of weeks as Venus is transiting through Pisces is we're looking at ways that we can find greater compassion for ourselves, for others, greater healing. This is a beautiful time to do some healing where if you're in the spiritual field or you're looking to pursue something spiritual, in the healing capacity, like past life work, hypnosis, EMDR, all these kinds of healing techniques and modalities could be something either you monetize or you invest in for your own health and your own well-being and healing. I would offer that there'll be quite a few of us who are going to look at ancestral patterns and say, I need to heal from that. There's going to be some transitions in relationships. And I'm pointing to that because we're going to have this eclipse, like I say, on March 25th in the sign of Aries Libra. These are our eclipses this year, even though we do have a beginning eclipse in Virgo Pisces, September, October time. But that's just the beginning of that set of eclipses. But this year is really the focus is the Aries Libra, which is all about me versus we. In astrology and the zodiacal system, Aries is the first house, first sign. Libra is the seventh house, seventh sign, right? And so when we're looking at the first house, it's all about me. When we're looking at the seventh house, it's about us. It's about both, and it's about how I relate to others. And so when we have these eclipses in this sign, in these signs, we're looking at our relationship. We're looking at how do I individuate myself and still be in a relationship? Or is this relationship bringing out the best in me? And if it's not, why am I still in it? Right? So we're going to be questioning ourselves. This year in particular has a lot of make or break moments because we're looking at it, though, I feel, from a more healing perspective. And that's why I believe that those of you who are listening and who resonate with the show and the information I offer and is in the spiritual community, we're looking at it from a much more of a healing perspective. And sometimes, and this is where I think you'll enjoy the second half of the show, is where Tatiana and I are talking about respect and relationships. This will help when it comes to making decisions about the types of relationships that you have. And do you stay? Do you go? When is it okay to let go or transition the relationship from the way it was into the way it will become? And I think that's the thing about relationships too that we have to keep in mind is that there's that relational field, right? There's me and there's you, and then there's the energy between us. And that third party or that third energy is the relational field. And if that relational field is unhealthy, then it's time to really address it and to work with it and decide whether or not we transition from the way we used to relate to each other to a new way of relating. And you'll hear that Sophia and I do talk about that sometimes a healthy transition is to create space or distance in that relationship. Maybe there's a title change in the relationship as well. Because what we want is, and this is where we're looking at it from an energetic standpoint, is that the healthier we are, the more energized we are, that we bring out the best in each other, that we're looking at the shortcomings of someone else and still loving them and still appreciating them while challenging them, but not changing. There's a difference, when you look at it from the, okay, here's something that I wish that I would like to see differently. I don't appreciate the way that, let's say, when you're stressed and you get worked up, that you shut me out. So I in the future would appreciate if you just say, look, I need a moment to process and time to myself and all that. I'm not shutting you out. I just need to recharge my batteries. So the communication is enhanced and and me as the individual understands, okay, they're not ghosting me, they're just processing. It might be something like that. It could be something as powerful as ending the relationship where there is a divorce or there is a breakup. And it could be not just breakup of romance. It might be a breakup of a friendship, or it could be a breakup of a parent-child relationship. Now, it's not always a breakup that could happen during the eclipse time and on this focus in relationships. This is also a beautiful time for fated connections to happen. We look at eclipse, the North and South Node, as our destiny and also our past life and what we're bringing in, and what we have these fated connections or moments to. And so what you'll find is that whether you're single or coupled, it doesn't matter. It could be a fated moment where you connect with a new friend. It doesn't have to be a love affair. But I would say that there will certainly be a few of us who will make new connections that help push us towards a better future, a greater future. The one thing about the North Node is it's a challenge because it's not something that we normally or naturally gravitate to. So if you have that North Node in Aries natally, you may be challenged with being individual and staying out of relationship, or being independent and letting your voice be heard within the relationship without the codependency that could naturally take shape, or always needing a relationship and saying, no, you know what, I'm okay being single for a while, getting to know myself, right? Now, that could, you don't even have to have that natally for that to be triggered for you as an individual, because this is collective that we're also experiencing this eclipse. So there could be a lot of us who are going to have moments where we say, okay, I'm wanting to experience my life on my own. I'm going to start asserting my own choices and my own decisions. And if I'm in a relationship, I'll communicate it with my partner, my family members, whoever gets affected by this decision, but I'm still going to do it my own way. And it's a little bit of a challenge, especially because we want approval, right? We want people to like us. And that's not always a likable thing. You start making decisions and doing things on your own that you may not have the approval of that authority figure or that person that you want on board. I've been challenged with a couple of conversations because the relationships are really hard. There's a lot of drama. There's a feeling of lack of support in the relationship from that partner or the other partner, things like that. And so the challenge that I am putting back onto the individual is, remember, you have a choice. Not all relationships are bad, just some are more challenging than the others. And you have to decide, can I accept this about that person? If your values and what you have decided you need most in a relationship isn't getting met, isn't lining up with that person, that's going to be a good indicator that you may transition out of that relationship. Because I think there's going to be a lot of us who say, I'm not putting up with this shit anymore, So I definitely think there's going to be those moments. And I also sense that there will be, like I mentioned, a lot of romantic connections, a lot of fated moments, a lot of energy where it's like you, if you've been wishy-washy about the relationship, that you make a decision one way or the other. As I've often said, my mom would say to my dad, hey, make a decision, we'll adjust along the way. And that's what she asked him to do that. And that's how they've navigated their marriage all these years. And and I have to agree with that concept. After a while, you just have to make a decision. I see a lot of people recommitting or committing even deeper into a relationship that they've been floundering in for a while over the next, so over the next, I would say, months, 2 months or so, we'll probably sit there and go, okay, is it worth it? Is this really what I want? Do I want more? When do I say it's enough? How much time do I give this person to show up or express themselves? All those kinds of things will be up for us. But I do feel as though, for the most part, this is going to be a defining moment for most, if not all of us. So when it comes to our relationships, this also means relationship to finances, relationship to food, relationship to our work, daily routines, whatever it might be, because we're in relationship with all things all the time. So I would offer, spend a little bit of time. We're coming off of that new moon in Pisces that was on Saturday, but spend a little bit of time this week evaluating, if you haven't already, those areas of your life that you're in relationship with that don't feel healthy, that need to be readdressed. I was looking at my areas in my life and saying, okay, what's my relationships overall that I need to start tweaking and paying attention to? And so that's, I think it's a wonderful exercise. It's just like our values. We look back and we say, okay, what I valued, say, 6 months ago may have changed because life has changed. So reevaluate your values at this time. I mentioned that Mercury retrograding in April, we also know that things from our past come back, people from our past come back. So this is happening just after the eclipse, which we are going to have another eclipse in April. That's going to be a full-on eclipse. And while Mercury is retrograde, so that's going to be a big deal for us to revisit things and make some final decisions. Because that's the thing, the other pin on the map about the eclipse, I want to say, is that usually our decisions are pretty final. So if we are ending a relationship or we are changing the status of it, it's usually pretty concrete. I'm not saying we can't change our minds down the road, but rarely does that happen. So if you have somebody or a situation, a theme from the past coming back to you during that retrograde, it's also during the eclipse time. Whatever decision you make will most likely be final. It's a great time for wrapping things up, cleaning things up. So, use the next few weeks to enjoy the dreamy, fun, romantic state of Venus in Pisces, but also prepare yourself for making some decisions that improve your life, improve the health of your relationships, and improve the health for yourself and your overall well-being. All right, you guys, I'm going to take a commercial break. Jay's going to play a wonderful song. Thank you, Jay, for producing today and putting this on air for me and for all of you. And stay tuned for the second half. Like I say, a wonderful conversation about respect in relationships with my daughter, Tatiana, who's a therapist. And hopefully that gives you some information that helped you in making your own decisions when it comes to your relationships. All right, you guys, have a great week. Please come find me at 1-2-Listen, especially tomorrow, and all the other great advisors that are there. We're here to support you however we can. And Venus and Pisces, one other pin on the map, very intuitive, very psychic. So if you need that little extra boost, that third party view, because very often it's hard for us to be objective for ourselves or neutral, come find us. We're here. All right, you guys, have a great week, and I will talk to you next Monday on the Jamie Dimon Show. Take care.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition podcast of Far From the Tree with your hostesses, me, Jamie Dawn, and
Me, Tatiana.
we're mother and daughter duo that we're talking about anything and everything, just to give some insights and opportunity to learn. Maybe we even learn something ourselves as we're talking, share resources, and just whatever's up. Maybe this will inspire all of you in some way. And if you're just joining us, welcome. Grab a favorite beverage, get cozy, maybe go for a walk while you're listening. We do believe in body movement. It would be nice to, if I could walk and talk during the podcast as well. Maybe we can make that happen one of these days. Who knows? But anyways, welcome, T. What's going on with you?
Oh, nothing. Had a massage. It was lovely. Self-care day.
Nice. How important is that? And by the way, that's a nice
Incredibly.
place. Nice place to make the announcement that we're working on a
Oh,
special project all about self-care. So we're hoping to get that done maybe in the next month or so. We're just taking our time, letting it evolve naturally, not push it, but we're making progress. So excited
self-care
about
and
that.
self-reflection, I would say too.
Yeah, that's important.
Kind of twofold. So things that I've learned that have helped me, that I've used with clients, things that I think are important that we that you and I both think are important that we contemplate as people. Some of us haven't been asked the questions that we are asking. And it's important to look at all facets of our life. So
Well, as we say, at least I often say, the more self-aware we are, the better humans we can be, the better we can show up for ourselves, for others. We get to pay attention to, I'm a big evolutionary person. We get to watch the way in which we evolve. And, having that deeper self-awareness just allows us to hopefully find wholeness, because that's really what we're about. So cool. Well, I know that you have a hot topic that that we want to. It's hot.
It's hot.
All right, girl.
Say that with the emotional charge that comes behind it. That when I mention it, I'm sure other people feel too. But talking about the idea of like, I don't want to phrase this. What we tolerate within relationships, certain aspects, behaviors, disrespect, pointedly, yeah, disrespect within relationships, and why we think it's okay to either tolerate it, not address it, or if we do know that it's happening, how we do address it. I think all of those are important, you know. I know I sit with a lot of people and we talk about relationships. I know you talk about relationships, and there's no one size fits all. There's no clear cut decision tree, unfortunately. Otherwise, our jobs would be very easy. It's a lot of nuance. It's a lot of questions to consider, behaviors to look at, looking at ourselves.
So yeah, why is respect within relationships important? It seems like an obvious answer, but it's not necessarily.
Kind of a loaded question.
Exactly.
Right. Relationships are loaded. Plain and simple. For a non-plain and simple topic. Respect, why is it important? It shows us how we think we deserve to be treated, and in turn, how we are going to treat other people. I know a lot of, I'd say older generations, because I think this is an older mindset, believe that respect is given, not earned, right? Respect your elders, respect adults, respect, you know, whoever, family members, just because of their age or their relationship to you. And a lot of us in the younger generations know that respect is earned, not given. Just because you're older doesn't mean you're a kind person and you deserve my respect. And just because you're a family member also doesn't mean you deserve my respect if you're going to treat me poorly. And if I haven't seen that respect reciprocated.
I think you're bringing up a very hot topic and a trigger point too, because if we, yeah, we have that mindset of you must respect your elders and all of that. Yeah. Where is that line that says, okay, this elder is abusing me, or this elder is not just disrespecting, but crossing boundaries and all kinds of things. What does that really mean? If I'm respecting them, I have to take that on. Mm-hmm. Right. And how conditioned does that make us, especially as children and young adults, where we start getting into relationships where there is disrespect and we say it's okay because we were conditioned to respect elders?
Or how we're conditioned to respect somebody because of their role.
Right. Authority. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And it's always a fine line, because there has to be, I say a fine line. There's not, to me, there's, it's pretty black and white. If you're going to be abusive, go get out of that relationship. Right.
Absolutely.
The disrespect. Well, let me ask you this. Define disrespect.
Okay. The actual definition of it in the dictionary, couldn't tell you off the top of my head. What it means to me, disrespect, is the lack of I almost want to say the lack of reciprocity, but that's not necessarily true. And this is just me processing out loud.
Yeah, and while you're processing, I'll just invite the audience to explore that. What does respect mean for you? Because it could mean something right. different to everybody.
It's not necessarily about showing interest in somebody. And it's not necessarily, again, the reciprocity of, you know, I do something And then I expect you to do the same thing, because that's not true. And I'm trying not to use it in a sentence, because when you define something, you don't want to use the same word in a sentence. Perhaps more of a mutual understanding, or a mutual giving and taking that is acceptable to both parties. Being able to not necessarily agree, but accept and work to understand someone else and their point of view. You know, I think we look at respect, something like we might tie it in with politeness or manners, which isn't also necessarily true. And I'm kind of processing it again.
Yeah, no, I think it's great, because, of course, I had to look up the dictionary definition, and it's a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something elicited by their abilities, qualities, or achievements, or due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. I think that one is a good, potent one, where you actually have, like you're talking about, the reciprocity, where you actually are regarding, you're considering, you're being considerate of the other individual. So it's not necessarily reciprocity as far as giving and taking. It's being considerate of the other human that is standing in front of you, meeting them where they're at and treating them. I like the word tend as well. I'm tending the field between the two of us as well. What there's that relational field, right? It's not just you and me. So I'm respecting you by tending that relational field between the two of us.
Mm-hmm. Now you mentioned the word treating, like the golden rule, treating someone as you wish to be treated.
Right.
And unfortunately, that is twofold, because when someone mistreats us, that invites in mistreatment on our part as well. Right. You're showing me that you can mistreat me, and yet you expect me not to mistreat you back. Right. And that goes to integrity of the person.
Right. Absolutely. So what do you do when you find yourself, if you're reflecting on what your definition of respect is, and somebody, usually it's the person people were closest to, often disrespect us, that we take it so personally, a stranger disrespecting us, yeah, we're going to get our ass up and probably say something, whatever. Yep. But when we're in that pattern with another person that's closest to us, that has a particular title, or, you know, whether it's spouse or it's girlfriend, boyfriend, partner, father, mother, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, what do you do? Let me start here. How do you identify it?
It can be difficult. I want to make sure we're not using like absolute language, like
sure.
all or nothing language. So it can be difficult to identify it, especially when you're in the heat of it, in the thick of it, in the moment. And especially when you have this like this concept of a person, and that relationship is, you're bonded, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, when we are outside of the situation, it can become a whole lot easier to see things, because typically, at least speaking for myself, when I'm in the midst of perhaps an emotional conversation or a heated conversation with somebody that I'm bonded with, the emotional brain takes over, even if we don't want it to, just because we end up getting dysregulated. So in those moments, it will be important to regulate ourselves and make sure that logical, rational brain is coming online. And so that's what I mean, where when we're in the moment, it can be hard to see, because the emotions are clouding everything. And when we step back and we give ourselves some time and space, right, these are those conversations where, like, oh, I should have said this, or I could have pointed that out, that rational brain is showing up. Right. So sometimes it's easier to see it outside of, before we get into it. And hopefully when we're outside of the thing, we can practice coping ahead with, these are the things I'd like to say the next time. This is how I would like to respond if this shows up, right? Not like worst case scenario, catastrophizing, what ifing, but when you're bonded with somebody, you know more or less how they're going to respond to something or react. And so that gives us the opportunity to, again, cope ahead with that of, I anticipate this kind of reaction. I anticipate, maybe they're not going to see my viewpoint. Maybe they're not going to understand. I know that I can't connect with this person emotionally, so to speak. So I need to keep it level with the logic and reason talk, because going any deeper is not going to be good, whatever it is. If we're able to, step back again and plan ahead, it makes it easier to do that. Having boundaries is really important. And this is a hard practice for a lot of us. And it depends, again, on how we are bonded with that person. If we have a secure attachment, and we've talked about attachment before, where we feel safe enough to express ourselves, we're not afraid of the reaction, we know we can handle it, it's going to be a whole lot easier to say things in the moment. And if they're wrong or taken wrong, however, we can take our accountability. If we're insecurely attached to somebody, it's going to be a little bit more difficult, or it can be, to set those boundaries, because the boundaries are already blurred. And so that practice is super important to do on your own before setting them with somebody, to make sure that you know, again, self-reflection, knowing what it is that you want, how you want to be treated, how you want to come across. And when you are ready to articulate what those are, really standing firm in them, because if somebody feels as though they can violate them, they will. And if you let them, they will.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, thank you. That's beautifully said and articulated. And I think the thing for me with the respect is that it's very reflective as well in relationships. I always say relationships are reflective, right? And that I often can compromise someone disrespecting me if I don't have respect for me. Mm-hmm. So it's really important to cultivate that too, that, mm-hmm. You matter because you have breath, you have value, your spirit chose this body to house your spirit, and it has a right to be here. You, as that unique expression, has a right to be here. And so respecting yourself, and I'll go back to the definition in the dictionary, admiration. What do you admire about yourself? If you're not sure how to respect yourself, start there. Mm-hmm. What is it that you do really well? Maybe it's just one thing, and it's not just doing. Maybe you just have a presence about you. There's something to admire, right? And so I think that's some good work to do for ourselves too, when we are working with respect, or and that way we can identify as well when we're being disrespected. Because also, as I always say, the truth lies in the body. And so your body, if somebody is saying something towards you and it doesn't settle right, and it does trigger the emotions and all of that, like you were saying, it dysregulates you, then that is a good indicator. Boundaries are being crossed, disrespect is happening, that sort of thing.
Here's what I want to add on to that, because you brought up a really good point about the body showing up. When our emotional brain is taken over and we can't see logic and reason, we're going to feel things in our body. And tapping into what we are feeling in our body, because our body knows what our mind and our mouth cannot articulate, is super important. So if you're noticing a tightness in your chest, or a lump in your throat, or butterflies in your stomach, or maybe your hands are clenching, right? Or your shoulders are getting really high up into your ears. What do those body parts need in that moment? What are they trying to communicate with you? And if you can't figure it out in that moment, that's okay. Can you, when things have settled down, tap into what they're trying to communicate and go from there, and take those messages and move into a new conversation with either yourself or that person?
Yeah. Yep. These are all beautiful reminders of things we can do. So have you found yourself in disrespective, am I asking that question, in the relationships that have been disrespectful?
Yes.
How do you get out of them, or are you still in them? What do you do with them?
And that's where the nuance shows up. And that's where the difficulty comes in, because every person has their own values on what certain relationships should look like and on how they should function. We can talk about family of origin for a second, because I think it's easier when it comes to family of choice. I think it can be easier that we dismiss those people, because we made a choice to be friends with them or call them family, right? But family of origin is a little more difficult because we're born into this place. So there's certain expectations that we have of them that they have of us as well. And how do you navigate that? So some people feel as though because someone's a sibling or a parent or a grandparent, aunt, uncle, cousin, whatever it is, that the relationship should look a certain way. I need to keep these people in my life because of this role. And I think a lot of us have also been given that language of, well, it's the only parent that you have, or it's the only, you know, they're your sibling. You should try and work things out. You're not going to have another one, so on and so forth, right? And there's that guilt that's attached to it. However, we don't use that same language with a partner. Oh, well, it's the only partner you're ever going to have. Or they're your partner and you should go ahead and work things out. Well, when someone is seeing that we're getting disrespected by a partner, everyone's pretty quick, most of the time, I'd say, and not everyone, most people are pretty quick to say, you should leave that person. They're not good for you. You need to stand up for yourself. You need to get out of there. You need to put them in their place. Deep breath. But they don't say that about family of origin. We're expected to put up with that shit.
It's so true.
We're expected to put up with mistreatment and disrespect from people who gave us life, have been part of our developmental years for the sake of the role, for the sake of the family image, for the sake of generational expectations, cultural expectations, whatever it is, but not with people that we choose. Even though the relationships with the people that we choose can be, often are, more powerful than the ones that we are just simply born into and expected to have relationships with, because that's our choice. So back to your question, how do we navigate that? It depends on what you believe in. It depends on what your values are. If your value is, yes, they're my family, I need to work it out. Okay, that's fine. So now we're going to have to figure out, what are you willing to tolerate? How much time maybe are you willing to spend with that person? And these are boundaries. How do we communicate with this person? Can we look at ourselves and know what we need and know that this person either is incapable of giving that to us or just doesn't know how, and we need to ask them for it? Is there actual abuse and dysfunction? And if so, how severe is that? Is it something you want to put up with? Is it something you can talk about and address with them? Or is it something you need to see yourself out of? And I would say family of choice is the same thing. We need to be having those kinds of introspective moments, figuring out what we need, articulating them if we can, because sometimes it's not worth our breath. Sometimes seeing ourselves out quietly is the best option, especially if there is abuse in the mix, if it's too dangerous to even broach the topic. But there's, again, no one size fits all. And that's the hard part.
Absolutely. And you're bringing up so many great, great points. And I think the hardest part is the reconditioning or reprogramming of the mind mm-hmm. when it comes to expectations. And when it comes to the titling and all the emotions that go along with it and the belief systems that go along with it. I mean, what you're this subject and what you're talking about, it is dismantling and unbinding from very old constructs that we create. And all I can say is I know for myself, it has not been an easy journey and I haven't always handled it well. Sometimes I've just ghosted because I didn't know what else to do. There was nothing more I could do, right? And I didn't have the skill set to communicate that I have now. This I'm talking about years ago when things like that would happen. And, you know, I always say, one of the phrases that I say, not always, so sometimes I will say, if the relationship is more important than the subject matter, then you stick with it. You communicate those boundaries. You ask for the respect. And you work with the fact that you have a choice mm-hmm. to be in relationship with that individual or that group. But I know this is a question that the audience is going to pose. When do you know that it's time to leave? or transition the relationship into something different?
I'm going to go back to a recent experience that I had where the body knows what the mind and mouth cannot articulate or is not ready to accept. And when you actually listen to your body instead of pushing it away, right, you might call it intuition, it tells you exactly what you need. Something that I've learned that has been very helpful for myself, and which was my great reminder in the recent experience, was I often tell clients, or I ask them, how does this person make you feel? What kind of things are showing up in your body? Is there tension? Is there tightness? Is there butterflies? How do we interpret what those things are? Do those things mean we just simply need to communicate something? Does it mean we're excited? Or does it mean that we're nervous and we're scared and something's wrong? At the same time, does that person elicit a sense of stillness or calmness or peace within you? There's no arousal whatsoever. There's no tightness. And the second is the most important part. If there is peace and stillness within you when you're in the presence of somebody, they calm you, they calm your soul. I guarantee you're probably going to spend a whole lot more time with them than you would with someone who makes you feel uneasy.
Absolutely.
A lot of us have been told, and this is true, you know, when you're done, you're done. I think, you know, it's very true in the sense of like, why do we keep seeing people put themselves through, I'm going to go with partnerships, that they know and we know, we can see it, are not very good for them. Right? There's the disrespect, there's a lack of reciprocity, the communication is faulty, they take things personally, they project onto you. They're not willing to look at themselves. They're not willing to meet you halfway. They're not willing to take accountability. Why do we keep going back to that? Well, what was modeled for you growing up? One, in media, we, you know, in the past, again, we've talked about this in the past, there was a lot of dysfunction, a lot of put downs, a lot of yelling, a lot of sarcasm, a lot of the only person that can pick on me is you. Anybody else is not okay. That tough love kind of love style, which is also kind of messed up. The brutal honesty, pretty messed up.
I always love the phrase, I say this because I care about you, or because I say this out of love.
Something I saw the other day. Well, okay, so are you attacking my character, my personality, or are you looking at my behaviors? Because if you're attacking my character and personality and you're telling me something because you love me, and yet it's going to be very hurtful or harmful, you might be being brutal. And this is Dr. Raquel Martin. Thank you to her. But honesty, when you're talking about my behaviors, hey, this happened and this is how I felt or thought about it. And so I'd like for this to happen in the future. Okay. I can respect that. That's a behavior, something you didn't like that I did, not something that you didn't like about who I am. Well, I think you're a snarky bitch. Oh, okay. Well, if I already know that about myself, you're not telling me anything new. If that's not true, now you're just attacking me. And there's a difference.
Yep. Great example. And I mean, seriously, this often happens. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going back to how do you know when it's time to transition the relationship into something different? You're right. The body knows. I know that I have had relationships come and go, and most of the time it's been my decision. And it has been because there came a point where it was almost, for me, it was a feeling of I was crawling out of my skin. Mm-hmm. If I didn't take some action of some sort. Now, there have been some relationships that I've transitioned, and it was a beautiful thing because I was able to use skills that I had learned and all of that. And there's still friendliness between us. We may not have the same type of connection that we once had, but it was respectful in the way in which we handled it. And so again, I think we do know inside of us when that time comes. And that is giving respect to ourselves too.
Absolutely. I think, I know for myself, it kind of feels like a light switch. where I'm interested in the relationship, and then something just kind of happens. It's kind of like the last straw where I have zero interest anymore. And this has happened in the past where maybe I did my best with the tools I had to articulate how I was feeling or what I wanted to see different. And it just didn't take. And so at some point, after trying to say things that would hopefully enact some sort of change or understanding, helping to create some self-awareness in the other person of like, hey, like this is how I feel when you do this. Like, can we do something different? Repeated attempts, it just didn't take. I was done.
Well, it's like you
And
say, a mistake is something we learn from. A pattern is something we pay attention to. That's not okay.
so
So.
we learn to accept the things that we have been conditioned with. You know, if yelling was normal in the household, we might see yelling as appropriate in a partnership or a friendship. If we were stonewalled or withdrawn from because someone didn't like something we did, we might see that as appropriate. If our partner or a friend does it, oh, well, this is normal. And I'll apologize all over myself until they talk to me in 3 days, and then we'll just kind of get back to normal. And again, this is why we see a lot of dysfunction. This is why we see a lot of, abuse in relationships, because people think it's okay to accept that. And again, you have the other people that see that grew up with that, and they're like, I absolutely remember how it made me feel, and I do not like that. I do not want that, and I will do differently. And probably through trial and error, they do that. And eventually, hopefully, they find someone, a friend, a partner, whatever, that can reciprocate that same kind of energy. Right. And I think for me, it comes down to effort. You don't have to be perfect in doing it, but I need to see that you're trying. Right. I'm going to change the way I speak because that's how I want you to talk to me. Right. Do unto others as you want them to do to you. I want you to talk to me this way. So I'm going to talk to you this way. And if I have a problem, I'm going to address it. And I hope that you do the same thing. If I need to apologize for something, I hope that you're going to call me out on it, or I'm going to recognize it myself and I'm going to go ahead and do that, even if it's hard. But also, this
Absolutely.
comes back down to the self-reflection, the self-awareness. At some point, we have to realize, is it me? Because I'm the common denominator in all of these situations. And if so, what about me do I need to start learning from and doing differently?
And yes, and it's you cannot change someone else. You lead by example, like you're talking about, treat them as you want to be treated. But there's also situations where you may communicate with this individual and they're not willing to look at themselves. They're not willing to change. They have no, they would rather be right than anything else. And that also is a good indicator that it's time to transition the relationship. Or again, you go back to, can I accept this? This is my choice.
And that's where it goes back to effort, right? If you're willing to make the effort, that means for me, you are willing to look at yourself and change things. I'm not going to change you. I can't do that. I can't expect you to change either, right? We have to manage our expectations. But because you're willing to meet me where I'm at and try something different, that does indicate to me that you are willing to make a change of some kind. Again, not perfection, progress.
I love it. I love it. We're going to end on that note because I know our time is up and there are other things happening in the world, but hopefully everyone gains something from this very enlightening conversation. And we can always continue it in another episode too, of course. So thank you for sharing your insights and being here. This is giving a lot of food for thought for people. And I'm sure we're not the only ones experiencing this situation in our lives.
Definitely. Thank you for
So,
allowing me the space to express myself.
always, I love you.
I
Enjoy
love you
the
too.
rest of the day. Thanks, everybody, for listening and continue to listen to us on Far From the Tree.
Thanks, y'all.